Down here the burden's heavy, and the road is rough and long. Sometimes my feet get weary and so sore. But a brighter day is coming. Soon I'll step on heaven's shore, and I won't have to worry anymore. I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, right, and I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will beam on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry anymore. Someday when life is over and I've said my last goodbyes, I'll see my Savior standing at the door. They'll hear him say, "You're welcome. All your cares are left behind, and I won't have to worry anymore. When I reach the other shore, all my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be
Probably should just make this a song service, huh?
Yes, thank the Lord.
That was good. Thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 22. I'll draw your attention to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 22. I want to read verses 1 through 14. And the message this morning is the wedding invitation. You pray for us that we might be able to deliver the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 22. We'll begin reading verse number 1. I'm still glad. I still love to hear the pages turn. I know some of you got it on your phone. That makes it a little bit easier sometimes. But no, that's fine. Verse number 1, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden are invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise or business. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, you alone are worthy of praise and adoration. Lord, if it were not for you, we'd be lost and on our way to hell. Lord, living in sinful rebellion and contrary to your will. We thank you, Father, for saving us. So the precious blood of Jesus, washing us, making us your children, we pray, God, that you would just speak to us this morning through the word of God. And Lord, you'd help us to hear your voice. Lord, we know that you have a will for us. We know that you want us to become more like Jesus. And we pray, God, that you'd draw us closer to yourself. Lord, if there are those in this service that are lost, or maybe they've come to the wedding, but they have not on the garment that was provided. Lord, help them to sense that this morning and come to the altar and say, Lord, clothe me in your righteousness. Make me truly a child of God. But Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would do the work of pricking and convicting and drawing. Lord, that the lost would be saved and that your children would be helped and they might be drawn closer to you. Lord, please have your way in the service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, Jesus is speaking to the crowd using a parable. Jesus often spake with parables, but this is a unique parable in that you can almost interpret and understand every aspect of this. Many parables, there's some of it that kind of you might not get. You might not fully understand. This is a parable that's clearly distinguished. It's easy to understand. The king is God the Father. The son represents the Lord Jesus Christ. His servants include the prophets, apostles, and disciples. They that were bidden is the nation of Israel. Remember, Christ came into his own, and his own received him not. John recorded this in John's Gospel chapter number 1. And he says this in verse number 10 of John's Gospel chapter number 1. He was in the world, listen to this, and the world was made by him. Isn't that fascinating? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, yet, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, John records, and his own received him not. He came into the world that he created, and the world that he created did not know him, and his own people that he chose and selected and called through Abraham for the Messiah to come into the world, his own nation had rejected him. But I'm glad the Bible doesn't stop there. It includes verse 12 as well. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen? Amen. The world may reject him. His own nation may reject him. But I'm glad this morning that I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's made me his own child. Amen. If you put your faith and trust in him, you're also a child of God. Amen? Amen. By the grace and mercy of Jesus. And so, as you go through this parable, these are the individuals that it's talking to, the others that he was sent to. The last group, the highway group, represents the Gentiles. Israel would not receive Christ, and so the Father said, go into all the world and call the nations to come to put their faith and trust in Christ. And according to the book of Revelation, the gospel has spread, and multitudes of different nationalities have put their faith and trust in Jesus. Amen? So I want to try to break this parable down, and maybe it'll be a little bit of a help to us this morning. First of all, I want you to think about the recognition. We're invited to have a union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the marriage here is the marriage between Christ and his bride. How many of y'all know who the bride of Christ is? That's the church. Amen? And so what Christ is really inviting us to is union with himself. Yes. If you're married, remember that wedding day, the preacher may have said something like this, where that when two get married, they're made one. How many of y'all remember that testimony? But Jesus prayed for us in John chapter 17 and said, Father, make them one as we are one. And we don't have to work for that. We won't ever earn that. But we are one in Christ. Amen. We're accepted in the beloved. We're children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. So we're invited to this wedding. But I want us to think about the bridegroom. I want us to think about Christ himself. We're not invited just to marry someone. We're invited to have union with the creator of the world. Amen. We're invited to have Jesus as our husband. Amen. To marry the Son of God. To be united to the Son. That's a marvelous thing. Isn't it? Yes. Again, he came to his own received him not. I'm glad I recognize Jesus for who he is. He's the creator of the world. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, and I want you to think about this as a follower of Christ. Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I've espoused you or engaged you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste or undefiled virgin to Christ. He said to the Corinthian church, the reason I'm preaching to you, the reason I'm demanding change, the reason I want you to conform and become more like Christ is because one day you're going to be, the wedding day is going to be here, and I don't want you standing there on that wedding day having your garments spotted and wrinkled and defiled. I want you to stand there pure, holy, separate from the world. That's still God's desire for us. Amen?
Yes.
The best picture of that is found in Ephesians chapter number 5. Talking about being united to Christ. In Ephesians chapter number 5, we have the picture of the home, the husband's role, the wife's role. Remember in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Later on, Paul will say to us that we, the church, are the wife here that he's talking about. We are to submit to Christ as our husband. Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. Notice how Paul begins to reveal this great mystery. Even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. Yeah. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, or died for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that you should be holy and without blemish. He concludes this by saying in verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I want you to see this morning that you're invited as individuals to have a oneness with Christ and a union with Christ. And we need to be reminded of how great Jesus is. Yes. Think about how his royalty. Here he's mentioned in this text as the king. When Jesus came to this earth, he came to the earth in a humble way. He was born in a stable where they kept the animals. He was laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes or rags. That's how the Lamb of God came into the world. He came into the world humbly to save sinners. But one day this same Jesus will come back and he will finally be acknowledged for who he is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who Jesus is. When you think about Jesus, it's good to remember that he humbled himself and was born of a virgin. It's great to remember that he lived his sinless life. It's good to realize that he went to the cross and died for your sins, was buried, and rose again early one Sunday morning. But you need to continue that and remember, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are invited to have an intimate relationship with a God who made all things. Amen? His royalty. Revelation 17 verse 14 says this. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Christ will finally be victorious over everything. This world rejects him today, but it does not matter. One day he will reign. Amen? Amen? And to that I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. It would be a blessing if he came today. He overcame them, for he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful. Revelation 19, verse 16 says, and he hath on his vesture a robe, and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. We serve the living God. We serve the one who is above all others. There's none as high as he. He is the highest of all. The Lord of glory. And you and I are invited to be united with him. Think about his reign. In Isaiah chapter 9 verses 6 through 7 it says, for unto us a child is born. We love this around Christmas time, but it's true at any time. Amen. Unto us a son was given, not just born, but God gave Jesus as a gift to the world, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. This is God's greatest gift. A son is given. Listen, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Listen to verse number 7. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord as the lady sung this morning. The truth is, Christ will reign eternally. Yes. He's going to come reign on the earth for 1,000 years, but that's not the end of his reign at that 1,000 years. He will reign forever and ever and ever. Amen? Amen. And God is inviting you to this Jesus. Yes. So that you would have a personal relationship with him. Amen? Amen? We're not being invited to a dead cause, just a religion. We're not invited just to sit in a building. We're invited to the greatest event this world will ever know. Amen? Amen. The union of Christ and his church. Think about the future that we're going to have. What a wonderful thing to think about being with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Amen? Yeah. Understanding who the Son is, it's sad to hear about the rejection of him.
That's right.
Notice this rejection is a continual rejection. Look in verse number 3 again. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden. They've already had an invitation, right?
Yeah.
So he's going back again and reminding them, hey, now the wedding's coming.
Yeah.
How many of you have ever forgotten some important things?
Yeah.
And then the date comes and you're like, oh, I cannot believe I forgot this. The king says, I want them to not forget this. And I don't really understand Greek well, but you can look it up. Ask Sister Wilhelmina later. It's, they went out, and they went out, and they went out, and they went out. They went out continually saying, hey, the wedding's coming, the wedding's coming. Get ready. Make sure you're ready. And there was a constant rejection of that message.
Right.
It reminds me of the attitude and spirit of the world that we live in today, right? God's extending a gracious invitation. His hand is outstretched all the day long, Proverbs says. And what is the world doing to God's outstretched hand? They are swatting it away. They're saying no to the eternal God. They continually reject Him. By the way, it's an individual thing as well. God has dealt with you over and over and over again. And how have you personally responded to God? I don't know about you, but often when I was little, God would come and speak to me. Instead of responding to Him, I would complain to Him. I'd say things, well, why did you ever make me? Now I've got to worry about heaven and hell. I wish I'd never been born. And I wasn't going to church. I didn't know God, but I knew this. He was dealing with me. He made me mindful of His existence. He wanted me to know Him. And I would push Him out of my thoughts. Yet He would mercifully come back to me again and lovingly woo me unto Himself so that I would be saved. What a marvelous God, merciful God that we serve. Amen? God did this to the nation of Israel over and over again. And they rejected Him over and over again. And why did they reject Him? Some just out of apathy and unconcern. They would not come. Here's the invitation. Come to the king's wedding. What a marvelous event. And they weren't concerned about it. In fact, the next verse says they made light of it. Why should I go to a marriage? Even if it's a king, my own king. Why should I go to my king's marriage his son's going to have? It's no big deal. People get married all the time. He's not special. They treated it as a light thing. They were apathetic. What about you? The reality of God, being the living God and coming to the world and dying on the cross for you, does that do anything for your soul? Does it pull at your heart? Does it demand from you a yieldedness to Christ and submissiveness to Christ? It ought to, amen?
Yes.
And then some were more concerned about their assets. One went to his farm. Can you hear what he said? I know this wedding might be important, but I've got some animals that must be fed. I got to make sure my chickens have the corn. You know, I got to collect the eggs. I got to make sure the cows are taken care of, and all the other stuff that he had to make sure it was done. So he put his relationship with Christ after those things. We find that often in America today. People more concerned about money than they are the master. Is that true or not?
Yes. Amen.
It's clear.
Yeah.
Because when they have a choice between going to church and learning more about the Lord and hearing the things of God, or making overtime or earning more money, guess what most of them choose? And most of them sitting in a church pew choose.
Yeah.
They choose that money over learning more about Jesus. Is that true or not?
Yes.
I remember as a young father, I was tested because we weren't making enough to pay the bills. And I was trying my best to help out here. Brother Otis was a pastor, and I was trying to help out. So I would teach Sunday school, and I don't know why he let me preach on Sunday night, but he did that too. But I had to get a job, so I went downtown to U.S. Gypsum that made drywall. I don't know if they still make it or not. And they said, we would love to hire you, and the hourly wage would take care of our bills. That's exactly what I needed. And they said, but you have to work every shift, the first shift, the second shift, the third shift. I said, that's all right. I don't mind. First, second, third, all of them don't matter to me. And they said, and you have to work on Sundays. And I said, whoop. Can't do that. I have to be at church. I must be at church. I need to be at church. It was then when I said no to that, I saw the goodness of God meeting our needs.
Amen.
You can always trust God.
That's right.
If you put Him first. Amen?
Yes.
Son to the merchandise. Could you imagine them saying, things can't be sold unless I'm there to sell them? I mean, I've got a business to run. I can't be going off to weddings. And the world continues to make excuses why they should not come to Jesus. What about you this morning? Is it a constant rebellion from you? The Lord invites you to come. He speaks to your heart about being saved. And you say, well, not now. Let me wait till I get married, or wait till I have children, or wait till I do this. I want to do this. I'll come to Jesus someday. I witnessed to my brother, Rodney, that's not quite a year older than I am. It's about 11 months, so, or 10 months. We're the same age for a little while. Mama had my oldest brother, Mike, Karen, Rodney, me, and it was one after the other, one year, next year, next year, next year. Seven of us. She did take a break through a couple of them towards the end there. I wonder where you're at. I mean, God speaking to your heart, deals with you over and over and over again. How many of you just said, no, no? I used to do that when I was young. I said, you know what? Let me wait till I get married. You know why I said that? Because I wanted to have my fun. And then I thought, when I get married, I'll be faithful to my wife. And so, you know, I want to have my fun first. By the way, my father encouraged that. He said, son, you need to sow your wild oats. I'm glad I didn't listen to that.
Amen.
But that was in my thoughts. And then when you get married, what do you? Well, my children, you know, wait till I have children. Then, you know, then when we have children, I'll take them to church. Any of y'all ever thought these kind of thoughts? Well, I feel like I'm the only one this morning. Well, that was my thinking. But you know what that was? It was just rebellion. It really is no different than the ones that took the servants and slew them. Right? Because guess what? They're in the same category. The ones that said, I'm worried about my business, I'm worried about my farm, are in the same category of those that took the servants and shared the gospel with them and slew them. They all were judged by God's wrath because they had rejected the wedding with Jesus. Amen? It's a costly rejection. You reject Christ, you'll spend eternity in hell. You reject Christ, listen to me, your children may spend eternity in hell. Your children's children may spend eternity in hell. When I was a young dad, I prayed earnestly, Lord, save my kids as soon as possible. As soon as they can get saved, save my kids. And most of them were saved at 4 and 5. We had one reprobate that got saved when he was 7, I think. We're all worried about him. He finally came to faith at the age of 7. Now I pray, Lord, save my children. I prayed, Lord, I don't want to see any of my kids, my family, die and spend eternity in hell. And I said this, Lord, I'd rather not have kids if they're ever going to die and spend eternity in hell. I'd rather not have children if that's going to be their eternal destiny. Amen? And guess who's going to determine that destiny? That rests on my shoulders. If you have children, it rests on your shoulders as well. Amen? In wrath, in 70 AD, God sent the Roman army into Jerusalem and utterly destroyed it. That's what verse 7 is talking about. Amen? Think about the response. That army came in, destroyed the city of Jerusalem, the temple, and the gospel was sent out to the ends of the world. I love reading the early parts of Acts. I hope you do too. 3,000 were saved. 5,000 were saved. Amen. Paul comes to a city and they said, they turned the world upside down. The gospel was spreading like wildfire. In the response, I want you to notice the Father's desire. Oh, how He wants Jesus to be honored. I think we miss this in witnessing. I think we miss this in passing out gospel tracts and trying to get people to come to faith in Christ. I think we miss this. We miss it. God the Father wants His Son honored for what He did at Calvary.
Amen.
He wants everybody to know what His Son did to save them. He wants a house full, a heaven full of people who received Christ because of what Christ did on the cross to save them.
Amen. Yes.
It's our job to be a part of that. Amen?
Amen.
He wants His Son honored. I mentioned in a devotional thought I sent out to you about this text. When Israel rejected God didn't say, well, they rejected me, I guess that's it. He said, no, you go out to other places. He wants His Son to receive honor and glory and praise. Amen? That's why we witness. We went out again Saturday trying to tell our neighbors about Christ. You say, preacher, how's that going? Are a lot of people coming to faith in Christ? No, there's not a lot of people coming. Most people don't open the door. But we have a map where we record every street we went on. And every time I look at it, I just praise the Lord for it because there's a large area there of all the streets we've covered. Every door around the church that we've tried to reach with the gospel of Christ. Hoping that sinners might be found. You see what their job is? Verse 8, thus saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go therefore to the highways, and as many as ye shall find. I'm glad we found some, aren't you?
Amen.
I remember being at a McDonald's, and there was a guy in there cleaning up the floor. And I said, hey, do you go to church anywhere? And the hottie said, I have no man. He was from the Congo. I said, well, if you want to go to church, I'd love to pick you up. He said, well, I'll go. He started coming to church, had a Catholic background. It was in this room right over here. We opened up the scriptures, John chapter 3, and Hadi prayed to receive Christ as his Savior and had a passion for the Word of God and trying to get others to come to church and get in the right relationship with God. He said, preacher, how that happened? I found one. You ever been fishing? Mm-hmm. And you try this spot. You think it's a good spot. But man, there's a lot of fish down there. And you try that spot, nothing. Do you go home after that? Not if you're like me and this whitehead. No. You go down a little bit further and you find a good spot again. What do you do if you don't catch nothing there? You go somewhere else, find another good spot. I don't want to give Brother Brian the big head, but he started that ministry at Her Heart Assisted Living. We talked about this morning in the prayer room.
That's all right.
Five people have received Christ since he started that ministry.
Amen.
By the way, there are people all over Jacksonville
that
if they had a chance to hear the gospel, would probably do the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
It's our job to find some. Say, preacher, what do you do if you don't find some? You keep going until you find somebody.
Amen.
I went door knocking one time. I said, I am not going to stop door knocking until somebody gets saved. I stopped door knocking. No one got saved, but that was my desire. Lord, there's got to be somebody in Jacksonville that wants to hear about Jesus. We never know if we don't go. Amen?
Amen.
He wants his house full. He wants us to find sinners. That means we have to be going. We have to be looking. We have to be searching. If we go and we look and search and pray and keep going and keep looking, keep searching, keep praying, sinners will be found and God will be glorified and Christ will be honored. Amen?
Amen.
If you're here this morning, you're saved. Let me give you this challenge. Try to find one sinner. Sometimes we think, you know, how are our church going to grow? It would be simple. If every one of us got one person to come, we'd double the attendance, right? It wouldn't be long. The house would be full if we did that. A lot of times we think it's Brother Bruce's job, or Brian's job, or the Fields job, or the Lewis job. Brother Lewis does a good job, by the way. Or Brother Tommy's job. It's everybody's job. Amen?
Amen?
So those servants went out in the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. You know, you run into that all the time. Sometimes you run into people who think that they're too good to be saved. I mean, you ever run into people like that? Most of the time you run into people like that. I'm a good person. The Bible says there's none good. No, not one. There's none righteous. No, not one. We have to show them that they're not as good as what they think they are. Brother Lewis and I had a chance to talk to a man named Mitch yesterday. And Mitch told us that he went to a church here in town. A good church. A great preacher. But he didn't understand the gospel. I thought to myself, how can you go to that church 30-something years? I know that man preaches the gospel and he preaches it plain. And you not understand the gospel. I didn't say that. I thought that. You know what he thought? He thought it was good enough. I reminded him if we were good enough, Christ would not have died. The fact that Christ died proves that none of us are good enough. Amen? He didn't just find the good, he found the bad also. You know, you run across folks like that too. Not as often as the good, but you run across some people who say, I'm too bad to be saved. I've sinned too much. God don't want to save me. And I say to them, you're the very one God's looking for. And people like that know they need a physician. They know they need help. Amen. They're closer to being saved than those that think they're good.
Amen.
God wants his house filled. He wants heaven filled.
Yes.
I know sometimes it gets tough, but that's still what he wants. Amen? I promise you, if we go, we can find some.
Amen.
Might have found some this morning. If you're in this service and you've not received Christ as your Savior, this is what God is saying to you this morning. Not the preacher. He's saying, come, receive Jesus, get forgiveness of your sins, and have eternal life.
Amen.
And I imagine even this crowd here, there's probably some here who've not received Christ yet. And this is the invitation to you. Come and be united with your Maker. Come and be saved. Amen?
Amen?
And for us that are saved, we need to be the servants in this text.
Right.
And we need to go find someone. Amen?
Amen?
May the Lord help us do that. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. Lord, it breaks our heart to think that you created the world and came to the world and the world rejects you. And we're reminded of a time, God, that we treated you the same way. And Lord, we're sorry. You even came to your own. And they also rejected you, nailed you to a cross. Father, help us. I pray this morning, if there's some here that don't know Christ, help them not to reject you. Not to be unconcerned about their soul, a state of apathy. I don't care about spiritual things. I've got other stuff I want to do. God, show them they might not live to see the sun rise in the morning. No one's promised tomorrow. They may die before they even put their go to home this evening, put their head on the pillow this night. They might be standing before you face to face, unprepared, lost. God, somehow convince them that today's the day of salvation. Now, this very moment is the time to be saved. And Lord, help us as your servants. There are so many. And if they understood, if they just knew, they too would be saved. Lord, forgive us for not going and preaching and, Lord, being as earnest after souls as we ought to be. Lord, help us to realize that the reason that we ought to go is so that Jesus would be glorified. And Father, I pray you'd help your children to respond and say, Lord, send me. Help me to find some lost soul. Help me to look and to search, to pray. Lead me, Lord, to sinners. And help me, God, that I might see them come to know you as their Savior, their Lord. God, would you have your way in the invitation? Help each of us to respond and do your will. And we'll thank you and praise you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Turn to 275. If you need to pray, will you please come? 275.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Thank you, Miss Brenda. I appreciate that.